Quickly, let us look to the Lord in prayer as we go into our message this morning.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity that you've been given to speak your word. Lord, we hide behind you and you speak your spirit this morning. And that, Lord, your word will accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. Take control now, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We've been going through the book of Ephesians, and we've been talking about the church as God's gift of grace. And, you know, I got one of my members in good music. She, we all were talking about Paul, and I told her, I said, Paul is my good friend. And, you know, she always said, she said, you know, Pastor, Paul said something, and then he come out and said another thing, he kind of confuses me. So I told her, I said, I don't care what you said. Paul is my good friend. I said, you know what? Just jot everything down against Paul. When we get to heaven, we can talk about it. You see, Paul wrote this book of Ephesians, and he's been talking about the wonderful things of God towards the church. And for our eternal truth, our eternal truth this morning, we're going to say, walking worthy of our calling. And what does it do? It costs us true growth in grace and humility. When we walk worthy of our calling, we experience true growth and we experience unity. Now, you know, there's something that I noticed about Christian, right? Sadly, we are divided group of people. And if you go back, history talks about that. You have the Protestantism, especially you find the dispute and disagreement and division that came back way back in history. For example, in the United States alone, we have about 250 different denominations and fellowship. Baptist. You hear that? We got Christian, that are Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, you name it. But here's the thing. It's okay to have differences, right? It's okay. Oh, you're here doing it? You know what? I tell my folks that do this. You gotta ask something. If I ask something, I'm gonna stay over here. Amen? So when I said, okay, you gotta respond. If you don't respond, then you're gonna make me one of those. Amen. So, this is where my good old friend Paul comes in. In the chapter that I read beautifully by our dear brother Ivan, Paul comes appealing to the church to be united, to be unified, and to be a whole body. So we're going to listen to what Paul has to say to us this morning. I know my sister in there, I'm in the pew somewhere there. We'll have a sister with me later. Well, this is what we want to talk about this morning. Paul talks about one calling in chapter 4, verse 1. He talks about, he said, therefore, I Paul. Now, there is something unique for this passage. He said, prisoner of the Lord, he imploring us to walk in a manner that is worthy. That is worthy of the calling to which we've been called. Every one of you here, every one of us, born again Christian, have been called. structure is there, right? Yeah. But we are the church because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. So, Paul mentioned about the rich spiritual blessing. And what are those blessings? He talked about those whom Jesus Christ, the Savior, had adopted in chapter 1 of verse 5, the book of Ephesians. He talks about those that were redeemed in chapter 1 of verse 7. He talks about those that were forgiven in chapter 1 verse 7. He also talks about those that were sealed and indwelled by the Holy Spirit. He talks about those that were raised with Christ in chapter 2 verse 6. And he also talks about those that were saved by grace. And that's not all, church. Paul talks about those that were brought near by God to him. And he talks in chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. He talks about those that were reconciled with one another, believers reconciled with God. And also how he, God, created the opportunity for us to have citizenship in heaven.
Amen.
And not only that, we become part and member of a household. And whose household? Paul said, God's household. We are not part. And now we are the part of God's temple. So, in light of all of these blessings, Paul makes his request. And then he said, here is the response. We are to appreciate what God has done for us. Now, Paul also reminds us that he is prisoner of the Lord. Now, the request here is not something that Paul was suffering in jail? No. The request here is that Paul wanted us to understand and get special consideration as he requests, as he appealing to us to walk worthy of the calling to which we've been called. Now, so on the basis, we can conclude that Paul is speaking about all of these blessings that God has been given us. So, if God has blessed us with all of these things, he sealed us, he called us his own. So, in essence, we ought to walk. Now, to walk, everyone walks in a manner, right? And to according in that walk, it displays different patterns of behavior. I may walk this way, you may walk that way, you may walk the other person walk this way, but yet we are still walking. So, if we look at the book of Genesis, there were some folks in the Old Testament that God was pleased with the world. God spoke about Noah. People that are in the book of Genesis chapter 5, he spoke about Enoch. He said, Enoch walked with God. And Noah walked with God. Abraham walked with God. Isaac walked with God in the book of Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. Book of Genesis chapter 70 verse 1. So you see, what is this great metaphor that is used to describe how we walk, how we behave, the attitude that we have, that we carry out. So here Paul is saying that Christian walk should display the behavior that is in them, who they are. They should show, it should reflect. And that world should be worthy of who they've been called to be. Now, I want you to think with me for a moment. In your mind, you know, they have this old skill before. And I want you to think for a moment that as you watch this skill being made on one side, think about how that skill being will. Think about your forgiveness. Think about your redemption. Think about your justification. Think about your spiritual rebirth. Think about your adoption into God's family. And think about your coming resurrection. And moreover, think about your future life in heaven. In the very presence of God. Now, how can you balance this skill with all that I just named? And moreover, with this scale that is being weighed on one side, what kind of life is that should be worthy of our calling? We see here is what we need to do. Since we cannot buy this scale, we need to commit ourselves. We need to walk in a manner, as Paul said, worthy of our calling. So, but what exactly does this look like? And how? So, Paul is going to dedicate the final three chapters of Ephesians, and he's going to outline. So, today we want to look at some characteristics that Paul begins with when he's sitting in chapter 4 that will help us not only to walk worthy, but to create unity. So, in order for believers to walk worthy of our calling, there are a couple of things Paul wants us to know, and a couple of things we want to consider the characteristic of the worthy walk. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 to 3, it says that with all lowliness, gentleness, long suffering, bearing with one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So, in essence, lowliness, humility, that's one characteristic that will determine our unity. If we have unity among ourselves, so Paul starts with humility, because why? Pride is the primary source of this unity. Pride brings division. Proud people prioritize themselves. And everything is I. It's not us. It's me. It's not we. That's what pride does. So Paul starts with humility. In order for us to be united, to have that one force, to serve God for a particular purpose, and to walk the work that we've been called to, humility must exist in our lives. You see, Paul is pointing to the believer's character, the quality in here that Jesus Christ shows humility. The Bible says, even unto death, to the cross, he was what? Humble. Jesus Christ was humble even unto death. He had power. He told the disciples when he came to arrest, he said, don't you know I have power to call legions of angels to come and fight? He said, don't use your sword. Don't fight for me. He had power, but he was humble, eating on to death. And that's, as church, that's one main character we need to possess. If we want to have unity, we need to have the same attitude as Jesus did. Now, let us picture a church made of humble people. I know it's difficult to find today. But just imagine we have a church that's full of humble people who consistently put aside their own interests and they want to serve to benefit others. They want to benefit their brothers and sisters. Imagine that church is being empowered by God. Their agenda is to advance the gospel. Oh, the angels in heaven will be rejoicing. Because there is no disunity. So, if we think of that as Christians, as children of God, if we have unity, if we work together, put Christ and walk worthy of our calling, then as a church, we grow in grace. And we grow in unity. Because guess what? The Bible says the devil is the corroding lion seeking whom he may devour. And he just is seeking that opportunity to just creep in. Amen? And the second thing Paul describe his character. Now, the word gentle is important. It kind of reminds me, you know, when my brother gave birth, and the rattle of a crying child, almost 9 months around, and she was crying to him to sleep, and came out went and grabbed her. She didn't grab her by her hand or arm, she grabbed her by her neck, and she was hanging on the other one, and I said, pull her down, pull her down. She didn't care. All she wanted to do was prevent her from coming to step. What am I saying? You see, I expected her to be gentle with her because she's fragile as a baby. Any bone can be broken at any time. So sometimes parents, we parent when somebody holds the child and say, this is how you hold a child. Be gentle, soft. This is a baby. And sometimes in the house, they hold the care of her that they care of their dog. They don't care. They're doing that. I said, this is not your dog. This is a baby. This child is alive because you can break any part. They don't care. But what am I saying? You see, as church, as Christian, we should treat each other soberly because evils are fragile and delicate. So we have to treat each other gentle, with gentleness, with love, with kindness. Regardless of what, that's who we should be. And this applies for now with harsh words. Watch what you say. Because words are powerful. As the goal, they don't come back the same way they leave. So, Paul is saying that in order for us to have that unity in the church, we should have that characteristic of being gentle. And gentleness is a woman full of the Spirit in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22. Every child of God. The third characteristic we want to look at, Paul talks about, is patient, long suffering. It literally means not long tempered. No. Not short tempered, rather, because short tempered is just breaking it. Don't let me show you who I am. No! That's not patient. That's not long suffering. And sometimes I say, don't let me say something, I'm just from church today. Don't let me say something. That's not patient. That's not long suffering. So, for unity to exist, you know, sometimes, you know, I grew up in the Baptist church, and sometimes we have a meeting. Oh, you don't want to see. Back home to that video, and they talk to each other like they never want to talk to them, our friend Noble. But you know the good thing I love about the Baptist? And after what it says, let's be the tie that blinds. We disagree, we agree to what? Disagree. We disagree to every one of them. But as if we want unity in our midst, if we want to grow in truth, we ought to be gentle. We have to possess that character of being gentle. We must interact with patience, endure provocation. You know, something happened this during the DPS. I was teaching the 7th graders, and we were talking about God.
So I'm like, can didn't you learn to forgive? No, I'm not going to forgive. If you do something to me, I'm going to pay back. But thank God, after our discussion, she finally realized what God expects us to be. But God expects us to be patient with one another, to understand, to love one another. You know, we live in an irritating world, and we have irritating people around us every day. Moreover, people today, they are even more offensive when you try to approach them. But you have to be patient. You have to carry God in your heart in order to have unity, even within the church. You may not like my style. You may not like me, but you have to be patient with me and work with me and let unity exist in the church, because we are the church. Here's the thing, church. Christians must learn to cultivate the ability to stay calm and steady, even when you are encountering unsettling people. There are some folks who just will not settle, but be calm. And they will see that fruit in you. And they will say, wow. Even with everything that I said about him, I said about her, I did this, and she is still calm, like nothing is happening. That's the characteristic that Paul wants us to have. And as we go to the next slide, Paul says something here. He said, having the standard of our walk, Paul now presents two means of walking in a manner worthy of our calling, and one of them is bearing with one another. Nobody say amen. The one person I hear to that. Bearing with one another. Imagine the church have that character that we bearing with one another, even when things not going the way I want it, but I'm still bearing with my brother in the field. I'm still bearing with the sister sitting next to me. I'm not angry. But sometimes it's difficult, right? If it's not my will, it can be any other person's will. If it's not my saying, it can be any other person's saying. I don't agree. This is what I think it should be. But Paul said, in order to have that unity, in order for us to grow in true grace, we should have that standard to bear with one another. Now, this is similar to long suffering, because bearing means to sustain, to bear, to endure. And at the end, the true virtue is this: love has to be in the midst. Without love, can bear the next brother sitting to you, next the brother sitting next to you. Without love, you will hate your next door neighbor for what they say or what they did, even if they drove the car on your lawn. Paul said, we should bear. Why is he saying? He said we should show tolerance for one another, not from our lips, but from our heart, with what? With love. Today, showing tolerance means you are refusing to judge the next person. Consider them for who they are. Don't judge them. Now, showing tolerance means to be completely as humble, to be tolerable. And if we cannot bear, if we cannot show tolerance in love, then what happens? There's resentment. And in our librarian setting, most of our librarians say, I hate the ground you walk on. And no, you didn't make that ground. You came from that ground. You came from that dust. So don't hate it, because you're going to go back to it. Love one another. Bear with one another. Even if you don't like the person. Paul said, bearing with one another. That's one of the key characteristics of our unity. Grow in truth and in grace in God. Christians must show that we are bearing with one another. understanding one another. You know, not every one of us on the same spiritual level. Your spiritual level may be higher than the next person. Your spiritual understanding may be higher than the next person. But don't look down upon them because of who they are at the level of spirituality. Bear with them. Imagine if God is not bearing with us. If God, we will be swept out of this place in a heartbeat. Because the scripture says, our righteousness before him is like what? A filthy rag. So if God can bear with us, why can't we bear with one another? Amen? We on course. Yeah, here we go. So we want to look at another characteristic Paul talks about. That we're enabled to walk worthy of our calling. And I want to be diligent to preserve unity in the spirit and in the bond of peace. Okay. So Paul says that we've been called to keep the unity of the spirit. And that call is not just for a moment. It's not just for a day. It's not just for a month. We don't go on break. It's a continuous process to be diligent. It's a diligent thing that we have to do. It's an activity that continues to go every day of our life. It involves our entire being. Now, Paul talks about three action concerning this passage. In verse 3, it contains an action, an object, an attitude, and an evidence. Now let's look at it quickly. In verse 3, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now these three things. The first thing we want to look in there, Paul talks about. He said, action. The action that Paul talks about is to keep. Look at verse 3. He said, endeavoring to what? Keep. In order for us to grow in unity, in one body, we should keep the unity. Now, the word keep is to preserve, right? To preserve something from being corrupted or damaged. You don't want it to get missing, so you take good care of it. You don't want it to get lost, or neither you don't want it to be destroyed. So what Paul is saying, we as Christians, we are called to create, we are not called to create unity. We cannot create unity. You agree with me? We cannot create unity, but we are called to what? Keep it. Because it's God who created unity for us. And because we cannot create unity, Paul said what? Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Rather, Paul does not say to believers, he said, look, believer of the word, unite. No, it's difficult. We see it today around us. But rather, he tells us to protect the unity that God has provided us. God unites Christians, and we are called to be progressive and live out church in practice, not in words, but in practice, what is already true of God. And Paul talks about the object, and the object in there is what? The unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit was what? Created by God. The Spirit identifies believers with Christ, and not only that, the Spirit incorporates them into the body of Christ. And as the Holy Spirit unites believers in Christ, He also unites them with other believers in Christ. That's why we are united in Christ. All Christians are fellow members of Christ's body. Just as we have the arm, the legs, the head, part of the one body, we all form part of the body of Christ. So Paul is saying that the object that we ought to keep is the unity that was created by God through the power of the Holy Spirit. In the attitude that we need to have in order to keep this unity is diligence. To preserve unity, Paul wants us to take the same attitude, the same approach to preserving our Christian unity. We were saved. We are all sinners. We were once upon a time sinners, but guess what? Christ died for our sins. Therefore, we are then called His children. And so we are to diligently preserve that unity. Guess what? Make no mistake. The enemy wants to bring division among God's people. The devil will try to do everything. So if you see a brother standing in the pew, hitting his chest and angry, don't be mad at that brother. The enemy trying to use that person. Remember Jesus was trying to go to Jerusalem and Peter came to him and said, Lord, they're going to kill you if you go. And what Jesus said? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. And that's what the devil is going to do. So, the evidence of this unity that we are talking about is the bond of peace. When we preserve the unity that the Holy Spirit we have through the power of the Holy Spirit with diligence, what happens? We have peace with one another. We experience love with one another. But we don't look at each other differently. We don't look at your background, your culture, or who you are. We look at each other as children of God. Because we are all sons and daughters of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In our previous study, He brings together the Jews, the Gentiles. He broke that culture barrier. He broke that wall. That today, the Jews, the Gentiles, you and I are part of God's family. And so we need to keep that unity going through the power of the Holy Spirit because we experience that bond of peace together.
Okay. All right, somebody be helping up there.
Oh, there you go. So we're going to go to our next slide. Paul saying, having given the call to unity, to walk in unity, Paul in verse 1 to 3, Paul now explains the basis for our walking together in unity. And what are we called to walk?
Hold on, back to that scripture.
Can we go back to the scripture? What are we called to walk? Yeah, okay. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6, he said, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. And one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all who is above all and through all and in all. There is one. So, in essence, we are called out to form the church in what? Unity. Because we have one body, one spirit, one hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, there is one body and one spirit. The one body Paul refers to is the church, of which Jesus Christ is the head. According to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. Now, the idea of a single body made up of diverse parts, but what? is familiar, is something that is familiar to every one of us. The hands is different from the leg, right? The eyes cannot do what the hands can do. The nose cannot do what the ear can do. And it's likewise in the church. We are all from different, diverse backgrounds. But guess what? We are single body in the church. Our head tells us our hands, our head tells our hands to feed us, right? When this belly is empty, the first thing that comes to your mind, you want food. And when you see the food, the mouth cannot walk to the food. The hand is going to tell the hand, look, get that food. The hand is going to take that food, place it in your mouth. So it functions differently. And that's how the body of Christ is. You and I, the church, we function differently. But we are under one umbrella, the body of Christ. So Paul provides an image of unity that is always close at hand. In that every time we feed ourselves, we are reminded that Christians are one body in Christ and therefore must live in loving unity with the rest of the body. It's the one Spirit who places us together under the body of Christ. In that body of Christ, there is no disagreement. All Christians are united because what? We are all partakers of the Spirit. So why are we called to? Paul said we are called to what? Form the unity of the church. And the next thing Paul said, we are called out to what? Love. We are called out to one Lord in unity. One Lord. Paul describes here the threefold in which unity is found. He said, the one Lord, the one faith, and one baptism. Now, this one Lord, one faith, one baptism, Paul turns out to the Trinity. And to the second Trinity, which is what? The Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the second, and the Holy Spirit, which is the third. So in this connection, Paul also mentions faith. And it's that faith which identifies us as Christians. Our level of faith in Christ Jesus, our level of faith as we walk the Christian walk, will help us, will determine how we walk according to the call that we've been called. Are we going to walk worthy of the calling? But that has to be done through faith. So, every believer comes to the same Lord in the same way, right? We all come to Jesus one way by confessing Him as Lord and Savior of our lives and accepting Him in our hearts. And that makes us what? Born again. It doesn't matter what your past looks like. It doesn't matter who you were. It doesn't matter what you did in the past. God doesn't care anymore. Why He cares, you are not part of His family. So He called us out to be one. We are called out to the one Lord in unity, not this unity, not me, not Him, not you, but in Christ Jesus. And the next thing we're going to see there, He called out to one Father. Our unity is based on one God. One God, one Father, above all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, if you look at verses, Paul presents the third and ultimate basis of Christian unity. And in there he said there is only one God. And so he commands the church, everyone in his church, to live according in unity, to this one God. Remember, when God told the children of Israel, he said, I am the Lord your God, and there is no other God should be placed before me. So, Paul asked, he said, the Father to identify him as the first source, the first person of the Trinity. And not only that, but he emphasized the authority of God, who is what? Above all. Who is what? Through all. Who is what? In you all. And if that exists, we grow in truth and unity. Church, there can be no more enduring and unshakable situation in our life, because what? We are united in God the Father. And that's why Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 15, he said, it's the same Father who adopted us and to whom we cry, Abba, our Father. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say our Father. And we are reminded that we are siblings. And it reminds us that when we pray our Father, and our Father demands that his children all get together, get along in unity, loving one another regardless of who we are. So as we come to close out, I want to look at this. How can we carry on this unity that Paul is speaking about? First, church, we have to cultivate the character qualities of what? Humility, gentleness, patience, which is essential to walking worthy and living in harmony. That's what we need to do. And not only that, we must tolerate other Christians lovingly, even if you don't like them. Tolerate them. Accept them for who they are. You know, my former pastor, he said, if you don't like them, pray for them. Even though it seems hard sometimes to get on the news and pray for someone who hurt you, but pray for them, because when you pray for them, you lift that burden off your shoulder. You become free. That's why many of our prayers don't answer, because we hit our brother and our sister and we get on our knees to pray. But God said, if I have a nigga in my heart, if I pray, the Lord will not hear my prayer. And the second thing, we must, as I said, we must tolerate other Christian loving, not because they are tolerable or lovely, but because they are Christian. That's why. There is no brother or sister in the Lord whom we can write off or mistreat. You know, I was telling my congregation 2 Sundays ago, I said, you see, the family, we don't tell God who we want in our family. We don't tell God, I said, God, I need this person to be my brother. I need this person to be my sister. Or I want this person to be my uncle. No! God gives us whoever he wants to in our family. And there are some family members that are torn in our flesh. But at the end of the day, we come together as family and share and laugh and create that love and unity in our midst. Now imagine the church. I guess Pastor Gary didn't pray. He said, you know, I need this person to be a member of my church, Lord. You know that person on Route 70? Bring that person to be a member of my church. He didn't pray. Neither did I pray that this certain group of people to be in my church. No. But God brings who he wants to in a particular church. And when he brings them, they are part of that family. And as part of that family, you love them for who they are. And you put your hands around them. And that's where love and unity exists, because we don't choose our own family. We don't choose our own church brothers and sisters. God brings them to us. Because if we do, our church will be empty. Oh, yes. If we choose our own people, our church will be empty. We won't have one member. But God brings his own family. And that's why I make the church unique. Because we are different group of people, different character, different background. And we come together in one Lord and one Savior, one God. In, we say in all, and for all, and through all. That's the unique thing of a church. Amen? And thirdly, we must diligently preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, as we close, I just want to share this with you. I want you to see unity in the church to unity in marriage. You see, it is God who unites couple, right? And when he brings, when those two couple come in the church to get married, they are two different people when they come in. But when they walk out of the church, they now become one. They're not separate anymore. And that's why Jesus said, what the Lord puts together, let no man put asunder. And it's exactly the same as the church. When a sinner walks in, he walks in as a sinner. But when he gets saved and he walks out as a Christian. He walks out, we all bear the same name, Christian. We all carry the same title, children of God. And because we're not going out as different individuals, and what God has brought to us together with, let no one destroy. That unity, God puts us together. He takes us from different backgrounds. He takes us from different categories, who we are. We may be messed up in our lives in the past, but God doesn't care. When he brings us together, we don't go back to sin. We are called his children. And we carry one name, children of God. And that's how unity exists. And that makes the church grow in truth, grace, and in unity. So as we go on this week, I want you to think about your walk with Christ. Are you walking worthy of the calling that you've been called? Can somebody see you and see that worthiness of your calling? Can somebody notice and say, wow, that's a question that you need to answer. That's a soul searching that you need to do. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the church, but what matters is, how are you walking with God? Let us pray. Dear God, I want to thank you this hour. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your power. And even as your word has gone forth, oh God, we pray that you would just speak to our hearts individually and that your word will settle. And as it goes forth, your name be glorified and your name be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.